As we were trying to sing that song this morning, I need thee every hour. You know, I've been home just over a week now, and it's just sometimes almost seems to take a little bit of extra time to get back into the groove of things again. And I was just talking with Susan this morning. It's like, you know, sometimes it's just so easy to allow feelings to control us. And we can get into a dangerous, dangerous situation when we're allowing feelings to do that, to control us. And in fact, it's just downright scary. And it just seemed like I allowed the enemy to just get me down and allow things to control me. And it's just amazing how your week can all of a sudden start out good, but just end up really lousy. And you know, I realize again, you know, it makes no difference what we have behind us, whether we're missionaries, pastors, elders, laymen, kids, whatever. I mean, we are all susceptible to the same thing. And when we allow our flesh feelings to control, man, bad news. It's bad news, and it just makes Satan very, very happy. And we disappoint our Father in heaven. And are we wise of the things that are going on around us? Are we aware of spiritual warfare? Are we aware that Satan desires to get our lives focused outside of his will and focused on my will? Anyways, I just wanted to just say those things this morning, and that we would be encouraged and to kill those feelings and just put them to death and not allow them to control us in any sort. Well, we've been outside the book of Psalms 23 for a month now, and so we're going to head back into it again, and we are still in verse 4. And what I'd like to do this morning is just read to you again the whole psalm as we begin to just refresh our thoughts here. If you want to turn to Psalms 23, I'm going to be reading from a different version than what you have there, but you'll get the general gist of it. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of mine enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Father God, as we begin this message again, Father, just use me for the words that I'm about to say, and that we could give you all the praise and the glory. For it's in your name we ask this. Amen. We're going to concentrate on one word this morning. It's rod. Thy rod comforts me. Thy rod comforts me. And it was an interesting week again as I began to look up the actual meaning of the word rod. And what does that actually mean? And it was, you know, it's amazing. You can read something over and over and over, especially something so familiar like the 23rd Psalm, and you just read over it and nothing really grabs you. It's just reading words again that you're just so familiar with. thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But do we really think down below, think deep? What does this mean? Thy rod, it comforts me. And as I began to look at the life of a shepherd again, and began to see, man, what is a rod? What does it consist of? And there's many shepherds today that are still using rods today. Then there's high-tech type of shepherds. But regardless, shepherds use some kind of instrument in their hands as they are out with the flock. And as these shepherds take their flocks up into the meadows, up into the high countries, nowadays they have things what you call cabooses, where they'll have a building, a small little building that's portable, and they can take it up to the hillsides, and they can have their few things up there in the mountains or wherever they may be, and they'll normally carry a rifle with them, and when they're out with the sheep, they'll have a backpack on, and they'll have a little bit of water and food, and they'll carry out like that. But then there's those other types of shepherds that are still exist today in the Middle East and in Northern Africa, where the only two things that they carry with them is a staff and a rod. They hardly ever even carry anything, even food or water. They just have those two items with them. And those are the things that they walk. And it's interesting, as I read about this particular shepherd and talking about his rod, and what he would do is he would find a little sapling, probably about this big around, and he would cut that thing down right at the roots of a hardwood tree, a young tree, and he would cut those roots off, and he would start peeling the bark away, and he would start working it with a knife and making it smooth, and as it sort of just finished, it looked like a baseball bat. I'm not sure if you looked at the front of your bulletins, but if you want to take a look, that's what a rod actually looks like. Susan was able to find one on the internet, and there's different types of rods with different shapes, but this is the one that was more familiar to the things that were during David's days and during Moses' days there in the desert herding sheep. And so it would be something that would be made according to the shepherd's hand and the shepherd's strength. And so it would be like a baseball bat. So at the end, it would have a little knob at the end so that he would have that, grab that in his hand, and he could just do with it what he wanted, and it wouldn't slip out. And it had enough weight to it so that it had some power to it. And so it was interesting how these shepherds would make these little bats, these rods, according to their own size and their own strength. And it was interesting as this shepherd was saying, and these little kids in the village, they wanted to grow up to be shepherds as well, and they would make their own little rods, and they would have little competitions to see who could throw these things the farthest, because the whole thing came about for accuracy, to throw this thing perfectly at a very, very long distance. That's what the rod was used for. It became a very, very special tool in the life of a shepherd. And so there was a lot of selection that went into making one of these rods. And like I said, there was lots of competition. These young shepherd lads would learn to throw these things. And I'm going to share a little bit more about how these things were used. To a shepherd, the rod stood for different symbols, such as strength, such as power, and such as authority in any kind of situation. And so this rod meant something to the shepherd itself. It meant something very incredible, that there was authority here. When he had to force something with his sheep, this rod was put into effect. Also, the rod was for protection from danger as well. And the sheep knew exactly who their shepherd was and what this rod represented. And that was one of the biggest important things as I read this, about how shepherds responded to their sheep and the sheep responded to the shepherds. There was respect there. There was total respect. The sheep knew exactly who the shepherd was and what that rod represented. And I'm going to explain more about this in times to come here. It was an instrument used for discipline. It was an instrument used to correct. As wayward sheep would be wanting to go their own way, it would be something that he could use to bring them back to the fold again. And it's interesting, the sheep assert to the owner's rod, which simply means that there was assurance there. There was confidence. The sheep had confidence in the shepherd. It was something that was very positive, very strong. And it was affirmation that there was talk there. There was something that the shepherd and the sheep had a relationship there. And this rod controlled that. I sometimes think the shepherd was able to carry out an effective control in every situation. And as this began to just open up for me, I just began to realize, boy, there's just so many similarities of who's in control of my life. What's in control of my life? Am I in control of my life, or is something else in control? When I begin to think of Moses, and I think as he was a shepherd man for 40 years in the wilderness, after he lived 40 years with Pharaoh, and growing up as Pharaoh's son. And here this guy by the name of Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness looking after sheep. And how God called him one day, "Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt. And I want you to set my people free." And Moses didn't want to go, but he said, "Go." And finally he did obey. And the rod in David's or in Moses' situation was to demonstrate the vested power in that rod. It was that rod that people looked to. It wasn't anything that Moses could do. It was that rod that he carried with him. With that rod, miracles were taking place. When the different plagues came along, it was that rod that God used to show Pharaoh and his people where that power was coming from. And it was probably a very, very good thing for the Israelites to be able to see that same thing, because they weren't focused on Moses whatsoever. They were focused on that rod, because that's where their assurance was. That's where those miracles were taking place. That's where that power was coming from, was from the rod that Moses used to set his people free there. And so we begin to see here that the rod speaks. The people saw very evidently that, wow, there is power here in this rod. There is power here. And it spoke very, very strongly. The rod speaks of authority, of divinity. It speaks of power. And the rod carries with it the convicting power and irrefutable impact of something that we like to hear in the Word of God: "Thus says the Lord." Whenever I read that statement in the Bible, "Thus saith the Lord," it's like, does it ever get to you, and does it ever kind of make you think, wow, this is God speaking. This is God speaking to me right now. "Thus saith the Lord, Howard, I want you to do this." Because the Lord is speaking. There's power in the rod. Just as the sheep of David's day, there was comfort and consolation in seeing the rod in the shepherd's skillful hands. When dangerous animals would come, those sheep felt protected because they saw exactly what was in that shepherd's hand. They saw power there. They saw something that felt like it was assurance, something that was going to keep them. And so it is with us today, I believe. When we begin to think of the spoken word of God, we begin to think, yeah, there is power. There is power there for us, for me, to move on and to live my life. We live in a remarkable society today where there's so much confusion and chaos. And I was almost appalled one day as my parents have a religious channel there, and so this Middle Eastern preacher was on there talking about something so false. And it just made my hair want to stand up, just thinking, wow, this is unbelievable. There is so much chaos out there. There are so many different religions that want to just destroy the name of Jesus Christ. And it made me wonder, man, am I listening? Am I truly, truly listening to the spoken word of God in my life? Do I know all the things, all the tactics that Satan wants to do in my life to get me down, to get my eyes off of myself? And I think of all these different people, religious groups that are just swaying people from one side to the other because they don't know. They don't know. There's so much chaos going on right now in our world. How does that affect us? What does that do to us? Does it make us miserable? Does it make us felt sick? Wow. People are being led astray because they're not knowing exactly what the real Word of God says. There's so many truths that are so close, and yet they're so far away. In confusion. There's a second dimension also for the rod, and it's used for discipline. As I was telling you, herders and shepherds, they will herd or hurl their rods probably sometimes 50 feet away. They will be able to hurl their rod to a sheep that is starting to go astray. It's just amazing to read about that. And they will just wing that thing. That thing will just be flying through the air. And it can come very, very close to that sheep. Because so many times, sheep want to be led astray. They want to go off of the paths. Sometimes they want to go to the bushes where, for example, you have snakes or you have different kinds of poisonous weeds and things that they like to eat on. And the shepherd knows that. And so he can whirl this thing to sway them back to the path again. I'd love to be able to see something like that. I remember, I've thrown a bat before, and you can really wing that thing, but man, to be accurate, boy, to just have that thing just go perfectly down. Discipline. As it has been said in Scripture often, the Word of God will keep you from sin. And we've heard that expression so many times in our lives. If we read the Word of God, it will keep us from sin. And you know, that is so true. When I begin to think, when I'm having problems, when I'm allowing feelings to control me, when I'm allowing sin to come into my life, what is it that always comes so swiftly at us? It's the Word of God. Just like those rods that'll just go flying towards the sheep to get them back on track again. It's the Word of God that comes swiftly to us. And it's like, Howard, you need to get things right again. Howard, you need to forget about that. It's the Word of God that comes. But the thing is, when we're not allowing the Word of God to penetrate in us, we become stagnant. And all of a sudden, it's like the Word of God doesn't come swiftly towards us. Sometimes it stays away from us and it doesn't help us. We have the Spirit of God, the true living Spirit of God, living in us, wanting to work in us, to keep us under the control of Christ Jesus. That is what the Word of God is for us, that we would live under the control, and that we could walk in righteousness. to walk in a right relationship with God. It's interesting that in Ezekiel 20, verse 37, it says that I will make you pass under the rod. And this meant not only coming under the owner's control and authority, but also to be subject to the most careful, intimate, and first-hand examination of our Lord Jesus Christ, being controlled by Him. A sheep that passed under the rod was one which had been counted for and looked after and cared for with an intimate relationship. The thing is, there were gates in every corral for these sheep, and they had to pass through, and the shepherd would always count them as they would come through. And so many times the shepherd would use his rod to count the sheep. But also, because sheep have a lot of wool, he could check them with his hand and with his rod to see how their skin was underneath all that wool. And it was a way that he could tell whether his sheep were healthy or were they were sick. Whether they had disease or they were fine. Whether they had wounds, defects, whatever. And there was a saying, you know, where you can't pull the wool over a shepherd's eyes. And there was truth to that, because a shepherd could tell exactly where his sheep were. He could tell by opening up the wool and passing his hand over and knowing exactly where they were. And even though they looked so precious and so nice and so healthy from the outside because of all their wool, but inside they were hurting. They had diseases, they had fleas, they had all kinds of things. And that's the way it is with our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? So many times we try to look good from the outside, and everything looks fine, but in reality, we're not fine at all. And the Spirit of God just comes along and desires that close, close, intimate relationship with us. And He just wants to open up the wool in our lives, because we can't hide anything from God. He knows us. He is our good shepherd. He knows each one of His sheep, and He knows when we are hurting. But the thing is, when we're not practicing the Word of God, when we're not allowing the Word of God into us, to control us, to be a part of us, then you know what? Our Father in Heaven can't help us. He can't do what He wants to do. We can pull the wool over lots of people, but we can't pull the wool over the eyes of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's impossible. We can't do it. We can't do it. We can live very fake lives. It's easy. It's very easy. But God desires to open us up completely. It says in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. When the psalmist wrote, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Wow. And that's a very, very hard verse to claim, because we don't like to open up ourselves to people, let alone God. Search me, oh God, and know my heart. Wow, I don't know if I can do that. That's asking a lot. That's a lot of exposure there. And yet the psalmist knew so clearly that that's what he had to do. From the bottom of his heart, he cried out to God, "Search me, know me, help me." If we will allow this, if we will submit to this, God will search us. He will do it. And what a promise. He's going to do it. And he's going to do a good job of it. Because he knows us so incredibly. And like I said, we can't pull the wool over his eyes whatsoever. He wants to expose things in our lives because he already has a remedy for each one of us. He has a remedy. But do we want to take that remedy? Do we want to take that medicine and get rid of the filth, get rid of the garbage that we have in our lives? It's amazing. This comes from the rod. The Word of God. Wool in Scripture speaks of self-life. It's all about me. Wool speaks of self-will, satisfying one's own desire. Wool in Scripture talks about self-assertion, the act of demanding recognition for oneself and insisting upon one's rights, one's claims. Wool in Scripture speaks about self-pride. Look at me. Look what I've done. God has to get below and do a deep, deep work. First of all, in our wills, to right the wrongs which are often bothering our surface. Like I said, so many times we put on a fine front. We look bold, we look strong, we look confident. And yet we're hurting. We're hurting big time. And we're needing help. When I think of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was in the desert, when he'd gone without food for 40 days and 40 nights, Satan was there trying to tempt him. And like in the different temptations, the Lord Jesus Christ could always come back quoting Scripture. Always quoting Scripture. And that's what we need to do. When we have those temptations coming towards us, we have to quote Scripture. Man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out our Father's mouth. That's what it has to be. It has to be that. And if Satan can work on the Lord Jesus Christ and try to tempt him, believe me, he's going to work on us. He is working on us full time every day. Every day. For all of our lives. And we need to be strong. We need to be strong. My encouragement this morning, whether we have little issues in our lives, if we have little white lies, or Satan is roaring around us like a lion, we have to make decisions. We have to keep God first in our life. We have to keep pressing on. We have to keep the promises of the Word of God so fresh in our minds, because we can't do it. But God has given us a provision, the Word of God, that we would be strong and be able to put away all those things that Satan desires to get us down and keep moving on. And so, hermanos, brothers and sisters, stay encouraged. Keep the sun in your eyes. Keep your nose in the Word of God. And we can live a victorious life. Ryan?